Hello, hello. How are we all? My name is George. This is the FPL Banter Pod. Excuse my voice. It is a little bit croaky. I got a very sore throat this morning. Don't know why. It's just popped out of nowhere on pod day. So bear with me. I do have a nice warm cup of tea to help me through it, but we'll see how we go. But obviously, there's a deadline again tomorrow. This is the last of the quick turnarounds before basically a two-week FA Cup break, which even me, the FPL fanatic I am, I'm kind of ready for a little bit of an FPL retreat. It's been manic, and it's been a little bit too manic even for our standards of FPL. But this week we've had it all, haven't we? We've had hat tricks, we've had last minute clean sheets being taken off by an Enzo goal in the last minute. We've had Haaland blank again. We've had Gabriel cause a howler and basically assist Bournemouth for goal, and then 3 minutes later he goes up and scores his own goal. And of course we've had a sacking. So I think that's the best place to start, the sacking. Ruben Amorim being sacked for United. Was I surprised? I was surprised it was done as quickly as it was after the little interview he did. So I watched the Leeds game with my mate, and I actually thought Leeds were unlucky. I thought Leeds deserved the 3 points. I think if Perry stays on his line, Cunha ain't scoring that goal. So I was annoyed about that, because obviously I had Cunha. I rage sold him after that Wolves game, and he scored. So it was a little bit annoying. But I watched it and I thought, again, United aren't, you know, they're not clicking. And I understand they had 8 first-team players out, with, you know, 2 of them at AFCON, Bruno injured, Mount injured, Mainu injured, even though Mainu wasn't actually starting games, but he was injured as well. You know, you got Heaven in the back 4-3, whatever you want to call it, and, you know, United weren't losing or getting embarrassed, but they were, you know, they're getting draws against your Wolves, your Leeds, your, you know, your West Hams, your Bournemouths. Like, they weren't winning games. And in Amorim's tenure, I think he won 23 games out of 64. For a Man United manager, that is awful. That's basically a kind of a, we're fighting now, obviously that's all competitions, but that's, you know, that's a, really, it sounds like a team fighting to stay in the Premier League kind of form. Albeit he was sitting in 6th place. And I think on the outside looking in, you're like, what are you doing? You're 3 points at the moment off Champions League football. You're sitting 6th, but the results weren't convincing enough. There was meant to be progress for United, and even though there kind of was in terms of league positions, they kind of had to be because they had nothing else to play for anyway. But anyway, so I was before I watched the FPL family stream, as I normally do, the interview came up, and I was like, and he kept saying, I'm a manager, I'm not a coach, I'm a manager. And he kept on saying it. And I was kind of like, he's obviously sending a message here. He made a little comment a few days before that anyway. So there's obviously been a falling out. And basically, what's happened? Amorim's obviously, they've obviously had a meeting. Amorim's gone, right, January's here. I want him, I want him, I want him. And May and I'd have probably turned around and gone, well, you're not getting any of them because we're not spending in January. And obviously, he's probably turning around going, hang on, I'm the manager, you should be backing me. This is what I need to get us Champions League football. And probably the board have got turned around and gone and said, well, hang on, we've given you backing in the summer. Anyway, they've obviously had a disagreement. He's not liked it. And instead of just taking it and accepting it for what it was, he's obviously gone through the media and gone, well, I don't want to be here. So I'm going to say this just so you can get rid of me. And I think that's what's happened here. Amorim's basically gone, right, I'm going to go through the media and you're either going to back me or you're going to sack me. And United have acted quite quickly and gone, all right, mate, see you later. And I read in the Slack. I woke up this morning, went to work, and I always read through the Slack and the, you know, this when Aaron Raj and all that, they live in different countries, so when they're in the Slack it's different time zones. And obviously, you know, Aaron was saying, I think this has been a little bit overblown, and I kind of watched it and I thought, and before I said morning all, and then I said under it Maresca 2.0, because that's exactly what it was. When you're the manager and you're gonna go for the board, you're gonna attack the board through the media, it's only gonna go one way. And that's what's happened here. And at the end of the day, you're going to do that, aren't you? Because, well, he's getting apparently a £25 million. Well, he's getting a £10 million payout for it. And then £15 million's going to Sporting. It wasn't a successful reign for him. At the end of the day, I touched on it earlier. And I think, if you're Pep Guardiola or Jurgen Klopp and you're the manager of Man United and you've won four titles in a row, or you've won the Champions League and the Premier League, by all means, you can go into that ballroom and go, right, hang on, I've done this for you, so I need you to back me here. Amorim's walked in, he's got United finished 17th, albeit it wasn't his first full season, but he got United finished 17th. He's lost a final to a team no one loses final wins. And that's not a dig at Spurs, but the Spursy are Spursy, where they will walk into semi-finals and finals and they will bottle it. Yet, he's gone in with a United team and he's lost that final. And that's not a dig at Spurs at all, but it's just, history tells you that United are going to win those kind of finals. And they didn't. They flopped that. And he's come in, they've still backed him, they've given him 230 mil to spend on a load of forwards, by the way. And I said this at the start of the summer, that United needed defenders. They needed defenders, they needed a CDM to cover Casemiro. And they bought all these attackers, and Emery's kind of gone, okay, well now I want Bolivar. And they've all gone, well hang on, you just spent all that, we can't buy him as well. And I think that's what's happened. Amorim's expected all this money on forwards, which he got. And then it's like, okay, now I need the same for midfielders. And then I'll need the same for defenders. That's what it feels like. That Amorim was asking for all these different personnels. And there comes a point where you go, well, hang on. Work with what you got. See where you take us. And then go from there. And for whatever reason, United have said, look, we ain't spending in January. We're going to wait till the summer. And, you know, you take it or leave it. But my point is, Amorim didn't have enough in his locker to go to that ballroom and go, right, I've done this, that and that for you, so you can back me here. And it's like, well, you're not even in the Champions League spot yet, so we're not really going to back you anymore until you get us. And that's the way I view it. I am slightly surprised how quick they did it. And it kind of feels like they've just gone, right, you've gone to the media, get out. And they've not really got a backup plan here. Obviously, Fletcher's going in for the next two games. There's rumours they're going to appoint an interim and then look for a permanent in the summer. So it sounds like, obviously, they're going to try and get someone unemployed who they trust, who will just listen to what the board want until the end of the summer. And then they're going to do interviews again to see who they can get. For me, it sounds like, right, well, we want Glasner, but we ain't going to go to war with him now because he's free to do whatever he wants in the summer. So, obviously, they're going to get a Ruud van Nistelrooy maybe, or maybe bring Solskjaer back for it, I don't know. But they're obviously going to give it to someone who they trust till the end of the season and then in the summer. Now, that's all fine and dandy, but you're sitting sixth. If you were nowhere near a Champions League spot, I could kind of understand it. But you're going to bring an interim in to basically say, you're my interim, we're not going to appoint you in the summer, but yeah, get us Champions League football. It's all a bit messy. It's very messy. I don't think they thought about it properly. And while I agree Amorim probably had to go, they've not got a plan B. They're now kind of improvising. And it kind of feels like, okay, well, Fletcher, you have it. See how you do. If we don't like it, we'll find someone else till the end of the summer and then we'll find someone else in the summer. It's all, like I said, it's very, very messy. And obviously, I made a few little jokes here. We'll get Angie in, get Big Sam in, and, you know, wind up merging that I am. so that's one news we've had to deal with this week. What else have we had to deal with? City losing their clean sheet in the last minute. They bottled it, quite frankly. I think they had Chelsea right where they wanted them. They just couldn't finish off. Haaland with another blank. So that's three blanks in a row for him now. Arsenal just about scraping by. Gabriel getting a goal. But Rice having a haul. So we're now all trying to scrabble in to get Rice back. All our chips are back now. So there's been wild card conversations and hits and this and that. And Saka was benched. So Saka only got his 4 points when he came off the bench and assisted Rice. You had Ekotike not play at all. So some people would have got Rice or Thiago Halls off the bench. Where me, I got a two-pointer from Dalot. Liverpool scoring a last-minute winner and then losing it 30 seconds later to a Harrison Reed thunder strike. And he'll never score a goal like that again in his whole career, by the way. So we'll talk about Liverpool in a little bit. So we'll go through, as we always do, we'll go through my team, talk about my transfers, talk about the game week as a whole, and then we move on to the next midweek. So bear with me, let me get my team up. So this was the second minus eight in a row. So I got 58 minus the 8, so 50. It was a red arrow on the overall. So we're now 436k. So within 3 game weeks, I've basically gone from 93k to 436k. That's my fault. That's the hits I've taken. That's probably the cockiness of me that I was like, right, I'm here now. Like, let's attack it. And I probably over-attacked it and gone a bit too brave with certain things. And yeah, so we're going to try and refrain from the little hit addiction I've been having. Kelly, she said, Kelly Townsend from the Slack. She was like, are you in hit AUA? So and it feels like that. Like I've got an addiction with hits. And it's difficult, isn't it? Because I think when you see a player do really well and then everyone else is piling in on him, it's like FOMO. And I feel the FOMO's kicked in a little bit too much recently. So I need to try and take a step back from it. And I feel I have this week with only a minus four. And that is all I'm doing. Because at the end of the day, if I'm going to keep taking hits left, right and centre, I may as well wild card. And I don't want to do that yet. You know, my rank is still okay from what... If you told me, you know, if you told me at Fest, George, you're going to go to game week 20 and you're 430k, great, happy. I'm happy with that. That, you know, that's a good benchmark to have. And if you're around that, I think you can go, okay, I'm all right. I'm where I need to be. I think if you're between number one and let's say 1.5 mil, I think you're okay, because there's 18 game weeks left, and honestly, look, this ain't a dig at anyone past over 2 million. It's a really hard season, like it really is, and a lot of it has been a big, as Steve said today, big dollop of luck, and it has been for a lot of people, I think. I think captaincies are always key in the season, but I think captaincies has been really key this year. If you've been on the haul, if you've gone against Haaland 1 week, and like me, right, I captain Thiago against Burnley. I got 2 goals from him, and it that was my biggest flex of the season. And that's kind of, I've had that kind of luck this season. and even now, even because literally I was before the Verts and Bruno G goals, I was like shit. Like I thought, great, I've dogged myself in here. I'm going to be about a million rank after this game week, and I'm just going to be really, really annoyed. Yet them two have saved me this week. So it's like, right, okay, we're saved again. Let's now play this properly, play this sensibly, kick on and try and get back to where I was. If I can finish 90k, I'm over the moon with that, ridiculously over the moon with that, because that'll be my best rank. I was 137k last year, so I want to beat that. So that's still the target. So, but yeah, that's just a little bit of a rant about it. And again, there's been a few people saying, like, I'm done with this game now. Like, I'm 2 million rank, I'm 3 million rank. And it's like, there is another set of chips to play here. So it's like, you can still gain, because people will stop playing it. People will get to 2 million and go, oh, I'm done with this game now. So it's a keep on it, because you will get a haul and then there'll just be a big jump. I think Sam said yesterday, if you're like 3 million and you had that Chow haul, you would have got a million places just for that haul. So, you know, you got your chips to go. We've got another set of chips and just keep going, keep ticking. It is depressing. It is. Honestly, when you have a bad week, and I've said it many times on here, if you've had a bad week and your football team's had a bad week, it's crap. You basically feel like you need therapy, because you're in that kind of mood and state and it sucks. But when you're doing well, it's great and you're on a high and your team's flying, and you know it, but it swings around about. You'll have good weeks, you have bad weeks, and it is what it is. But you know, you move, you keep going, you go on to the next week and see how it all plays out. But yeah, my team. So Donnarumma with a 2. He did have a save point and then it got taken off. I don't really know why, but it did. And he lost a clean. So he was on a 7 and then he's ended up with a 2. So, I mean, Chelsea being Chelsea, isn't it? Somehow, some way, they find a way. Credit to Chelsea, because really, that game, they should have gone, you know, in the narrative was that, right, the under-21s coach is coming in. City need to bounce back after Sunderland. You know, Haaland's going to get 2 goals here. They're going to win 3 or 4-0. Job done. They keep their foot on the gas against Arsenal for the title. And Reinders scored again, by the way. A 5.6 midfielder, again, scoring. He scored 3 out of City's last 4 goals. You know, you can have your Fodens, you can have your Cherkies, you can have your Haalands, but for some reason, now the 5.6 million midfielder is popping up for City. And that's what I mean about, I'm going off track again, but that's what I mean about FPL. It's like, well, I've got Haaland, I've got Saka, I've got this, why am I not, you know? And then it just, you know, peak FPL, it's the 5.6 getting you a haul. Like Wilson, he got another 6 at 5.7 million. Reinders scoring another goal. He's got an 8 with, you know, with a 5.6 midfielder. So I think that's the thing this season, where seasons before, Salah was consistently doing what he was doing. It was like, right, fine, well, I'm getting points here because the premium's, you know, doing what he's meant to be doing. And where this season, it seems very find the diamond in the rough, and that's literally what it is. It's almost like the budget players are doing what Saka should be doing, what Haaland should be doing. And I know I've gone slightly off track again there, but you get the gist. yeah, City again, they bottled it. They, you know, Haaland could have had 2 again. Cherky almost had 2 assists again. It was one of those games where they just couldn't finish him off. And the longer it went on, I thought, Chelsea are going to get some in here. And it went on and on and on. And in a way, I was kind of glad because my WhatsApp mini league is, you know, Steve, as I talk about all the time, Steve, Louise, Fiona, Claire and Andrew. That league is like, that's my important league that I really want to do well in. And I think Stephen Louise had O'Reilly, and he had 3 bonus. I thought, oh, well, give me a break. Like, I was going to be absolutely tanked by the lot of them. And the clean sheet went, and I was annoyed, but I was happy at the same time, because I was like, that's saved me a little bit, because we're all on the same then. But yeah, City, I don't know what to say really. Again, Haaland's on four blanks, but you're not going to sell him. You're not going to sell him. Because of his ownership, you're just not going to go, well, I'll stuff him. I'm going to sell Haaland for Watkins and have Watkins and Thiago, for example. You're just not going to do that. Because the moment you do that, he is going to go bag a hat-trick. rest of my team. So I ended up with a back four because Ekitike didn't play. So Gabriel with a nine. Obviously, two goals conceded, but he got the goal. And he got DEFCON as well. So we ended up with a nine. He did what he had to do. And that's why we got Gabriel, isn't it? Because that's what he'll do in a set piece. He's the guy you want. He's the guy that, they all look for and in set pieces. And I think we're getting to a point now, because I said to Steve yesterday that, Arsenal kept two clean sheets in 10 games now. And albeit a lot of that was, the full back four weren't back. But it's, and the narrative was, as soon as a full back five are back, the Rayo, the Calafuri, Saliba, Gabriel and Timber, once they're back, our clean sheets are locked again. Calafuri was the only one who weren't in this in the game against Bournemouth. They conceded two goals. Again, they're all back against Villa, bar Calafuri again. Villa score a goal, albeit some of them weren't on the pitch at the time. But you get the point, and you kind of feel like maybe the double Arsenal isn't necessarily needed very soon. I'm on it at the moment because I can't really get off it. And if I do, it's a hit. Now, I know, George, you take hits left, right and centre at the moment. You're not going to rip your team up for this, because the moment you do, peak FPL, Arsenal will go get three clean sheets in a row. At some point, Timber to someone else so I can get Rice will happen. Because Rice hauled again. I say again, but Rice keeps ticking over. And then today, on Saturday, he got a 17-pointer. And it's just like, now we're off. It's funny, isn't it? Because four or five weeks ago, we were like, right, we all need to get Foden. Now it's like, now we all need to get Rice and we all need to get Bruno. And that's just how quick this game turns. All of a sudden, you want this player, that player. And yeah. So Gabriel with a nine, Timber with a three because he got DEFCON. Mialenko with a zero after the battering Brentford gave him, who are now 3 points from... we're actually in a European spot, and we're 4 points off top four. Do I think Brentford are going to get top four? Absolutely not. But we're riding a wave at the moment. And we scored 8 goals in the last 3 games. So I will get to the Thiago Watkins debate later on. And I know what Thiago only scored 3 of them... yesterday, but he assisted one of them in the Bournemouth one where we scored 4. That's 4-1, a 0-0 against Spurs, which I actually think we're unlucky not to win as well, and then a 4-2 against Everton away. So we're now, Brentford are in free form. We're now scoring lots of goals like we were under Frank. We're playing better at the moment than almost I think we did under Frank. I'm not going to disrespect Frank completely, because, he got us to where we are, and we've had some great seasons and great games with him. But that what Andrews is doing is, I take my hat off to him, because I was very against the Andrews thing. and over the summer, I got battered a little bit over the slack on it, with losing in Bueno, losing Wissa, losing Frank to Spurs, and us basically appointing a set-piece manager at the time. But, he's proved me very wrong. And he was in, the Iconics, Sam, St. George. I've put Brentford as in to go down. The iconic moment on that stream. So I just had to take a drink. To us in a European spot and looking like the way we're playing at the moment, like this isn't just a blip. This is a no. We are gonna go for Europe here. So you know, credit to my club. Even if my FPL is a little bit stinky at the moment, Brentford are making me happy. Dalot with the 2-pointer. I spoke about United already. This is where it gets a little bit what shoulda, woulda, coulda. Haaland, we'll start with the striker first. Normally we go through the midfield, but that's where all the magic kind of happened. Haaland with a 4 again. He was my captain. He should have got a goal. He should have got something. He didn't. But Haaland's Haaland, and you're not going to take him out anytime soon. I think if he blanks in the next 2 or 3 games, there's probably, if you're brave enough, don't mind it. But I think he will eventually, the shooting boots will come on again at some point. Cherky with a 4, he got me DEFCON, which, you know, not bad really, you know. Again, he should have had more and he didn't, but is what it is. Saka came on, got an assist, luckily, so at least he got something. And then the 3 other midfielders. So the 2 Newcastle boys, Bruno G and Gordon. Gordon scored 2 offside goals that didn't count because they were offside. is Gordon a frustrating own? Yes and no. He should have got this. This wasn't really the game I was hoping for him to get something from. He got an assist from the Burnley game. Should have had more. And he should have had something in this game. But again, the offsides. Now he's got Leeds at home. Newcastle at home are a different breed. They're very similar to what I've said it before. They're very similar to what Brentford are. But all of a sudden, Brentford, they're scoring 4 goals away from home. So Newcastle are actually now worse than Brentford away from home. But at home, they are a different breed. That's when they kick on. And more importantly, that's where Bruno G kicks on. He's having a great home record at Newcastle. And he's not even, he's just popping up. He's just scoring goals from a corner. And he shouldn't be getting the FPL points, but he is. So I'm happy to still have him. He got me a 10-pointer, same as Verts, who scored a goal that was literally, some would say it's offside, and it probably is offside, but it's literally offside by a toenail. But I'll take it. I needed that. And it's funny, because as I said, my team was in the utter mud until there was just that 2-minute spell where Bruno G scored and Vert scored. Both of them just saved my week completely. So yeah, 50 with a 434k rank at the moment. It is what it is. So, next week. so, we got Donnarumma in goal. Bryan at home. Another home game for City. Surely to goodness, they score more than one goal in this game. I mean, with City, you just, you know, they're in the title race. And you just kind of, with City, they, other than last year, they stay in a title race. So it's with the City players at the moment, it's still set and forget. I've still got Cherky, I've still got Haaland, you know. And that's that really. Double Arsenal defence, Timber and Gabriel. I sold me Alenko after that 4-2 battering from Brentford. Not so much an annoyance of him. It was more, as much as I wanted Rice, I wasn't ready to get off the double up in Newcastle midfield. I wasn't ready to get off Cherky yet. And I'm not, Verts is showing me things. Verts is showing me a lot. You know, he's scored 2 goals now. He's assisted 1 the week before as well. Like, he's not doing things 160 million players should be doing. But we're now seeing signs of him doing that. And even though it's Arsenal away, it's kind of like, with all these injuries Liverpool are having, it's kind of like they're looking for him to step up. And I actually think he has stepped up. And I'm, I tell, I tell Lee to be positive about Liverpool. And I think you can be positive about Liverpool. And I think Liverpool are actually bang unlucky this season, because they went on a great run to start the season. And then they lost I think they lost 10 games in 12 or something ridiculous. They went for a really bad spell. And then they start to kick on again. And then Isak scores a brilliant goal against Spurs. And in that same moment, he breaks his leg. Well, Mickey breaks his leg. And then, so like, it's sort of very stop-start for Liverpool. And then Liverpool go get a 92nd-minute winner at Fulham. And then they concede to a goal that Harrison Reed is never going to score again. So it's very, I actually think Liverpool are bang unlucky. I agree with Lee. They're not playing how they should be. But at the end of the day, there's a lot of injuries. There's a lot of missing personnel in that squad. I don't think they ever replaced Trent properly with Frimpong. He's nowhere near the levels of Trent. The Jota factor is potentially still there. I don't really want to use that as an excuse, but I think it obviously does play some form of part in this Liverpool squad. Salah's missing, and even when Salah was there, we wasn't seeing the Salah Liverpool got to know and love. So, yeah, that's why I'm holding on to him for a little bit longer. So, I got Chow in. So, I've got triple Newcastle now. So, I'll start again. So, I've got Donovan goal, double Arsenal defence of Timber and Gabriel. Chow at the back for a bit of Newcastle defence. I argued that the Newcastle defence isn't needed. And then they go keep a clean sheet at Palace. So, it looks like I've knee-jerked a little bit. But that Chiao has actually really impressed me. So I think if you want to get on the Newcastle defence, I get him. He's the only one I get. I don't think I get the keepers. I just think him. Because I think he's another little bit of a Gabriel. He's going to get on the set pieces. He's going to get you DEFCON. I think he's basically the Gabriel of Newcastle. And then I have a midfield five of Bruno G, Saka, Cherki, Gordon and Wirtz. And then I have a front two of Haaland and Thiago. So I took a hit. Ekitike has an injury doubt. Apparently he's going to play against Arsenal. Or he should play, should I say. However, sorry, I need to clear my throat again. Why did I transfer him out? Why did I take a hit to do it? A hint of bias with the Thiago hat-trick. And I was a little bit annoyed I wasn't on it. I'm a little bit annoyed I didn't keep faith in him. But, you know, at the time, Ekitike had really nice fixtures. So I don't regret it, but I kind of regret losing faith in him. Because at the end of the day, even before the goals he scored yesterday, he was still second top goal scorer in the Premier League. And at the end of the day, my front two is the first and second top goal scorer in the Premier League. And the first and two who are also on penalties. And there's obviously a conversation here, well, Watkins is back on form, why aren't you going to him, blah, blah, blah. I think Watkins is a patchy player. He's a lot like Foden Watkins. Because, by the way, I think he scored one goal in, like, game week 9. And then he's all of a sudden, he's hit a bit of form since the Chelsea game on the 27th of September, which was game week 18, I believe. So, Watkins has not been, no one has mentioned Watkins since that Chelsea game in game week 18. We all had him. Because the fixtures were so nice at Villa. He did nothing in the first five. He got a goal in 8 or 9. I can't remember when it was. And then he didn't score again until game week 18. He's one of them. Everyone's going to get him. And he's going to start blanking again. And everyone's going to go, oh, Watkins the troll, blah, blah, blah. We've been there before. Now, I appreciate some people have been trolled by Thiago. They got him in after his, you know, his hauls against Burnley and got a goal against Brighton and then he went off the boil a little bit. And people got off him quite quick. And then he, you know, if I wasn't a Brentford fan, I probably would have got Watkins purely because I don't have any Villa. I think that's the only reason. But I'm going to the game on Wednesday. I go to most of the home games anyway. And I just don't, I don't like going into Brentford games with not a Brentford asset. And if you're going to have a Brentford asset, you're probably going to have him. You could get Kelleher, you could get Collins maybe, who scored yesterday as well. Sade, I know a lot of people do like Sade, but again, he's a bit of a patchy player. And as I said, I'm going to say it again, you're buying the second top goal scorer in the league. You're buying the second top striker scorer in the league. Like, it doesn't have to, you don't have to overcomplicate it. And I feel sometimes we do in FPL, we overcomplicate it. Where really it's just as simple, just to set and forget. Your front two is the first is the top goal scorer of the Premier League and the second top goal scorer of the Premier League. Both on pens, both have good records on pens, and you know they will get you hauls. That was Thiago's fourth double digit haul yesterday. Like, again, I think we're overcomplicating it now. So that is a minus four, and that's it. By the way, my bench is Dubravka, Dalot, Rodon, and Mark Giu. Now, captaincy. Now, if you watch the stream, I made a comment of captaining Gabs. And at the time, I backed it. And then Lee went, I dare you, blah, blah, blah. And I do say to Lee, look, be positive. Liverpool, they're not as bad as you think. And the more I thought about it, and this isn't me trying to get out of, you know, not breaking my friendship with Lee. And Lee, if you're listening, I love you to death. And if it meant our friendship was lost, I would not captain Gabriel anyway. Just to clear that up, people. But I said it earlier. I say to Lee, be positive. Because I still think there is positivity in this Liverpool side. I think at the moment, Slot's team is very broken, where he's setting up games where they just don't lose them. They just don't lose them. And at the moment, I think that's okay. Because Liverpool aren't in a title race. They're not. And if they were, I think they lost that yesterday against Fulham. But they're not losing games. They're drawing games. They're still ticking points over. They're still winning the odd games here and there that they should be winning. By the way, Fulham away isn't a bad point. I know for Liverpool, it's like, well, we should be going there and winning. I agree to a point, but Fulham away is still a hard game to go to. We got battered there when we went there. Now, I'm not comparing Brentford to Liverpool at all, but in grand scheme, in terms of the table this season, there is a slight comparison. But Arsenal-Liverpool, I genuinely don't believe Arsenal are going to win 3 or 4-0 Thursday night. I just don't. I just don't see it. Because Slot is going to set up where it's going to be hard for Arsenal to break down. And Slot has had Arteta's number a few times already. Obviously, I know they beat him at the beginning of the season with a wonder strike from Szoboszlai. But yeah, in terms of the captaincy, I don't look at that fixture and go, at the time, I don't think Gabriel. I think Gabriel, there may be a clean sheet. I think Arsenal will win the game, but I don't think it's going to be like a 4-5-0 rout. I think it'll be 1, maybe 2-0 at most. I actually think Liverpool will score, as I've said, about the clean sheet. And I do want to get off that double Arsenal clean sheet at some point. I think Liverpool will score. If you're asking me now, I think Arsenal probably win 2-1. I think they'll find a way to win it 2-1. I just think there's nicer games here that you could captain other than Arsenal. I think more or less a lot of people will have treble Arsenal, and maybe like me, you'll probably have treble Arsenal, then 1 Liverpool potentially. I don't think you want to throw all your eggs in that basket for Arsenal. I just Liverpool Arsenal is always a tight game. It's a tight game to call. There's normally a lot of goals in there, so I think if you're gonna captain someone in that Arsenal squad, it's probably Saka. So, for the sake of my friendship with Lee, and the fact I don't actually think Arsenal are going to run riot in this game. At the moment, it's on Thiago. Why? He's just scored a hat-trick. As I said earlier, Brentford has scored 8 goals in 3 games. Sunderland, we're going to get to a point now where Sunderland are going to feel it. They're going to start to feel the strain in this period. They got a good point against Spurs and were probably unlucky not to go and win it. They got a really good point against City as well. But teams coming to Brentford, they struggle. Spurs did very well, but what Spurs did and what Frank did, he basically put 10 men behind the ball in a lot of periods in that game. Frank was very defensive and just did not want to lose that game against Brentford. That's all he cared about, going to Brentford and just not losing it. And I think, even though you can very well attack Brentford, I think the G-Tech is such a compacted stadium that it's hard to go there and attack Brentford. I think you kind of need to go there with a defensive mindset. I think if you try and attack Brentford, our counter-attack football, we will just hurt you. And I think that might happen in this Sunderland game. I think that the Sunderland legs will be very, very tired. You've got to remember, a lot of them have gone to AFCON and they've dealt really well with Spurs. They dealt really well with City. But again, the way we're scoring at the moment, free-flowing, I think there's an argument to go there. You could go Haaland. Look, it's Haaland still. I know he's blanked 3 times. You can still go there. I don't mind it. My other potential is Bruno G, who, as I said earlier, his home record is phenomenal. And again, with Newcastle, they played a lot of football. They've just played Liverpool. They've just played Man United. And similar to Brentford, going to Newcastle is a really, really hard day. It's a hard day to go. And maybe the legs go a little bit for Leeds in this game as well. So I'm between Bruno G, Haaland and Thiago. I'm going to the game on Wednesday. So, and last time I captained Thiago, he got me a double-digit haul. So I kind of want to have that faith in him. And he'll be buzzing, excuse the Brentford pun of bees and buzzing, but he'll be buzzing and he'll want to keep ticking over those goals and get as many as he possibly can. Remember, he's also fighting for a World Cup squad, a World Cup place in the Brazil squad, which he could easily get, by the way. If he keeps scoring like he is, he could easily get it. So I think that obviously there's a hint of bias for me going to Thiago, but I think I'm going to go there the way we're playing at the moment. I'm only talking about this because of one certain person, Steve-O. I'm talking to you, mate. Steve-O is, he's considering, I'm going to say consider, because I don't think he's fully in this idea. He's considering captaining Cherki. For me, if you're going to captain a City player, just leave it on Haaland. Because if you're captaining a City player and it's not Haaland, I just think you're playing a bit of a dangerous game. Because Cherki may assist Haaland, but Haaland's still going to get the goals. And I just... It's ballsy and it's brave, and if you want to do it fair play, I'm just very... If you're going to captain a City player, it just has to be Haaland, in my opinion. That's the only thing I'll say, Steve. But yeah, and I've just realised I've been talking for almost 43 minutes with a sore throat. So yeah, I've said a lot. I hope you've kind of listened and taken all that waffling. Jonathan, I know you love the word waffle, and I've probably said a lot of guff and waffle there, but yeah, is what it is. Taking a hit, I'm 70% I'm going to captain Thiago. And yeah, green arrows, guys.